where that is repeated in the New Testament, and then read several other scriptures, because the message today is from Jesus' own lips, the reason why he came into the world. So Isaiah 61, first of all. 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, let's turn to Luke 4. And hear these words again. Luke 4, verse 17. Our Savior is in the synagogue, and he's going to take part in the service. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. A group of reasons why Christ came into the world. Now, let me read you a strange reason that Christ gives in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verse 34. Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now let's look at a few references in the Gospel of John. John chapter 6. Verse 38. For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Look in chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life, and may have it abundantly. And in chapter 12, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me may not abide in the darkness. And if any man hear my sayings and keep them not, I judge him not, For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that we have heard from His own lips, the lips of our Savior, not one reason, but ever so many reasons why He came into the world. Our God, we are thankful for this information that You've placed before us. We are thankful that You've had it recorded by Thy Spirit, and we are able to read it, so that if men come and tell us why they think Jesus came into the world, we are able to compare what they say with what Your Word says, and Thy Word is truth. And so from the portions that we've read, and perhaps others that we shall think of, our God, we pray that our hearts at this time of the year shall be set upon the reasons why Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world. We are thankful that He did come, and we are thankful for the light, for the knowledge that Thou hast given us as to all the reasons as to why He came. And so, our Father, let our hearts and our faith be built upon the things contained in the Word of God, and all shall be well. For the good things that You've given to us, the material blessings, and our Father, let us know that we are infirm, and yet we have enough strength to be here, and we thank You for that. And so, our God, give us more strength, we pray, and let us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we look to Thee for good this day. We confess our sins, be faithful and just, to forgive and cleanse as You promised, and glorify the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I spoke to you last week the truth about the Virgin Mary. And I read a multitude of things that the world has said concerning her, and not one of those things could be confirmed. We searched the Scriptures in vain, and not one of them could be confirmed. But we looked in the Bible, and we found ever so many things that the Bible did tell us about the Virgin Mary, about the birth of the Lord Jesus, that He was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God, that she was spoken of as blessed among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. We read all of those things about Mary, and we found that ever so much was true, but that the world had added ever so many things that were not true. And in like manner, our Savior has things said about Him, and some of those things are true, and some of them are not true. But what is important about the portion that I'm bringing to you today is that it's not only what others said about the Lord Jesus. I could tell you what angels said about the Lord Jesus. I could tell you what Paul said about the Lord Jesus. I could tell you what Peter said about the Lord Jesus. I could tell you what John said about the Lord Jesus. But the importance of the Scriptures that I read to you this morning is that these are Scriptures that the Lord Jesus Himself tells us about Himself. And that means that He, unlike so many people in the world, understood why He was in the world. If you go up to a stranger and say to him, do you know why you're down here? Do you know why you're in the world? He might say to you, I don't have a clue. I tried to figure it out. Others would say, life has no meaning, and there is confusion, and there is darkness. They cannot understand their reason for being in the world. But I've given you just a few of the reasons, and there are ever so many more, as to why the Lord Jesus was in the world, and why they're so important, is that the portions that I read to you are portions where Jesus Himself told us why He was in the world. Which means, first of all, this, that He knew why He was here. There are some of us And I've had young men to come to me after they've trusted Christ as Savior. And they say, well, now that I'm saved, what am I to do? They know that they are God's child, but they do not know what they're to do in the world, now that they've been born again. Well, the Lord Jesus was never at that disadvantage. He knew precisely why he was here. He knew that God had sent him on a mission, and he knew everything that God had given him to do. And in the brief time that God gave him to do it, he accomplished every task, every undertaking that the Lord had placed upon him to accomplish in the world during the 3 years of his ministry. How remarkable. And so for this reason, if the Savior on a given day rose, he did not ask the question, what am I to do this day? But we read that he would arise early in the morning and go into the desert and pray and learn from his Father directly what his mission was to the world that day. Because he had many things today. Some days he was to go and open the eyes of the blind. Some days he was to go and to seek and save that which was lost. Some days he was to retire and try to hide from people so that he could have quietness and communion with his Father. He knew precisely what he was to do. And what is so remarkable is that even though he was God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus saw that it was determined that he should live as man. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so the Lord Jesus, as the God-man, would each morning rise and learn what proceeded out of the mouth of God, what God would have him to do this day. So let our hearts rejoice that our Savior was given a mission, and that he knew that mission, and that at the end of his life he was able to say, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Because the work that he was given to accomplish included you and me. So listen to a few things now. I'm going to give you some from Matthew, and I want to give you some from Luke, and some from John. And so listen to them. There are ever so many more, but I want to bring you some 10 reasons why Jesus himself said he came into the world. Notice that some he expresses first negatively, why he did not come. And then he will immediately add positively why he did come. He tells us why he did not come. He tells us why he did come. And at other times, he just speaks positively as to what his mission was that the Father sent him on when he came into the world. And so, listen first of all from Matthew chapter 9. Our Savior had gone to eat with an income tax collector, a publican, and the Jews hated these individuals because they collected taxes for their enemy, the nation of Rome. And when the Lord Jesus went to eat with Matthew, the Pharisees murmured and complained, and they said, he goes to eat with a man that is a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said this. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Notice, he says, I came not to call the righteous, that's negative, positively, I came to call sinners to repentance. Praise God for that. Matthew chapter 20, he said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Again, negatively, and then positively. Then, as I read to you from Luke chapter 4, here is a cluster of reasons that the Lord Jesus was sent into the world, and he tells us this, that all of these reasons are to be accomplished, but they are to be accomplished because the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He has anointed me to do what? To do every mission that God has sent Him upon. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind. He said, the Spirit of God has empowered me to do all these things. And then He enumerates the things there that were prophesied in Isaiah 61 for Him to accomplish when He came into the world. And this lovely reason, again, He was in the home of another income tax collector named Zacchaeus. He had called him down from a sycamore tree. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus came down, and he was criticized because he went into Zacchaeus' home. But the Lord Jesus said this. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Zacchaeus was a lost sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that lost sinner. Not only righteous, but I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, think of the Gospel of John, because I will mention these and then go back and give details about them. But I want you to see the great number of reasons that Christ came, the great variety of reasons that He came. And this is what He says in John chapter 6. He said, I am the bread of God. I am come into the world to give life unto the world. And so He came from heaven as the bread of life to give life unto the world. And this marvelous verse, He said, I did not come to do my own will. I did not come from heaven to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And so He knew that. Here are two reasons in John 6. And He tells us why He came. He said, my mission on earth is to do not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And He says also that He is the bread of God that came down from heaven to give life unto the world. Now, here is a portion that should be an encouragement to every discouraged man who is in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, He said, the hireling, this selfish individual that is in life simply to get what he can out of life, the hireling comes that he may kill and steal and destroy. He said, I am come that you may have life and may have it abundantly. So the Lord Jesus came as the giver of abundant life. In chapter 12, He said this. He said, I have come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me may not abide in the darkness. He said, I'm light, and I'm shining upon men, because if they believe on me, they do not have to abide in the darkness. And then He said this. He said, if I speak, and a man hear my words, my sayings, and keep them not. He said, I judge them not, because I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Then, in chapter 18, He tells us this. Pilate said to Him, are you a king? He said, thou sayest that I am a king. He said, for this reason came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, I've given you these 10 reasons why Jesus Christ came into the world, and that is not an exhaustion of all the reasons He came. It is an abbreviation of the reasons that He came. But the most important thing is this, and we should be gripped by it, that the Lord Jesus knew the multitude of reasons that God sent Him into the world, and also He knew all the existing needs in the world. He knew that there were physical needs in the world. He said, God has sent me to open the eyes of the blind. Then God sent him on a healing mission into the world. There were those who were blind. There were lepers. There were those who had withered hands. There were those who were cripples. There were those who were possessed of demons. There were infirmities in the bodies of men. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, God has sent me to do that, to open the eyes of the blind. And this probably is true of more in the world than those that have physical infirmities. The Lord Jesus said, God has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. All the sad, despairing, lonely individuals in the world who have broken hearts, and the Lord Jesus said, God has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How remarkable. Because there are some who have physical infirmities, and the Lord Jesus could heal their bodies, but then they have heavy hearts, they have broken hearts, and the Lord Jesus said, God sent me to heal the brokenhearted as well. How remarkable. Now, this is a physical mission he has sent him on, but he sent him on a spiritual reason as well, because the Lord Jesus says, he has sent me to preach release to the captives. So here are people that are bound in their sins, and the Lord Jesus Christ is able to come and release them. Here is another reason that Jesus Christ knows that God sent him. And so you say, well, he sent him for spiritual reasons. He sent him for physical reasons. And he said, I am sent also to give joy, to give happiness, to bring rejoicing to the world. I am come that men may have life and may have it abundantly. And so the world thinks that they know what joy is, but they do not know what joy is, because no man who is happy now will remain happy the rest of his life. The time will come when his loved ones are taken away. Time will come when he is afflicted with sickness. And time comes when he is going to die, and he's leaving this world, and he doesn't know where he's going, and he doesn't know if there is a God or there is not a God, if there is a heaven or there is a hell. And so he can't enjoy life. But the Lord Jesus said, I am come that they may have life and may have it abundantly. So from these few things that I've told you, see the great variety as to why Christ came into the world, the great number and variety of needs that were in the world, and the Lord Jesus was able to meet all those needs. That is what is so delightful. I remember hearing of a healing campaign that a well-known faith healer came to town to perform, and one who went to receive healing said, I was blind and my brother brought me to the meeting. He said, my eyes were blown out by dynamite, a terrible accident. He said, but before I was taken to this man who was supposed to be able to heal those that were afflicted, they had a screening program. And when I came to them, they looked at me and said, you are not acceptable. We can't do anything for you. And so they sent him away. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And so here are people that are screened, and if you have a difficulty that is too great for them, they will not even undertake it. But it says that when the Lord Jesus was on earth, they brought unto him all their sick, and it says he healed them all. That is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there was no disease on earth that he could not heal, that there was no broken heart that he could not heal, but the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who had been empowered by the Spirit of God to meet every need existing among the hearts of men, in their bodies and in their souls, and the Lord Jesus Christ never had anyone brought to him that he had to send away. Think if there were one reference in the Bible where someone were brought to Jesus and he said to them, I'm sorry, but this particular disease, I'm not able to heal. I'm sorry. I wish I could do something for you. It never occurred in the life of the Lord Jesus. There was never a sinner who came and the Lord Jesus said, tell me about your sins. And he told him his sins and the Lord Jesus said, I'm sorry, but you are so big a sinner, I can do nothing for you. It was never that way, because the Lord Jesus was the one who was sufficiently empowered and authorized by his Father to do all of these things and empowered by the Spirit to accomplish all these things. And now I want to bring to your attention three things that Jesus said about himself, because he not only knew why he was in the world, but he knew who had sent him into the world. He knew why he was in the world. He knew who he was in the world. He knew where he was going when he left the world, and he knew that he was going to come back again. He knew all of these things. He knew who he was. So let me tell you from Mark's Gospel three things. First of all, the Savior knew completely the authority that was given to him. On one occasion, a man that was paralyzed was let down through the roof by four friends. And when the Lord Jesus saw him, he said, Son, thy sins are forgiven you. And his enemies said, why, this man blasphemeth. Nobody can forgive sins but God. And the Lord Jesus said, that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. You see? He knew the authority that the Father had given him. He did not give you authority or me authority to forgive sins. I can go and preach the gospel and say, if you will trust Christ as Savior, your sins will be forgiven. But the Lord Jesus had the authority to say, Son, your sins are forgiven. And so he knew his authority on earth. The Lord Jesus knew the exalted nature of his person, that he was higher than any king, because they asked on one occasion, by what authority do you do these things? And the Lord Jesus said, let me ask you a few questions. And among the questions he asked them, he asked this. He said, tell me, what do you think about Jesus? What do you think about the Son of Man? Whose son is he? And they said, well, he's the son of David. And the Lord Jesus said, well, then how doth David in the Spirit say, the Lord hath said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David calls him Lord. How then is he his son? And they were unable to answer that question. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am Lord of the king that you place so much importance upon. David, the king, the man after God's own heart, David calls me Lord. That is my greatness. I am King of kings and Lord of lords. And this is one of the most profound things that he spoke with his own lips, because people, the critics, are constantly saying, Jesus didn't say these things about himself. This is what they said about Jesus. I thank God for this occasion. You have it recorded in both Matthew and Mark. And he was under oath. They said, we adjure you to tell us, are you the Son of God? Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am. And so the Lord Jesus, under oath, was asked, are you the Son of God? Are you the Son of the Blessed? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am. So never tell me that Jesus did not claim to be the Son of God, the Son of the Blessed. Under oath he said that, and men do not realize it, but that's why he was put to death. Why? Because he died for the truth that he was the Son of God. They said, this is blasphemy. To escape the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus would simply have to say, why, of course I'm not God's Son. You are a son of God. I'm a son of God. We're all sons of God. That's what I mean when I say I'm the Son of God. The Lord Jesus said in the absolute sense that he was one with his Father. He was testifying as to what John later said concerning him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And the Lord Jesus under oath said, I am the Son of God. I am the promised Messiah. I am the Son of the Blessed. I say that under oath. and he died because of the truth of those words. Now, the Lord Jesus has said all of these things concerning himself, and what higher authority could he have? What greater person could he be when he says that he is the Son of God, and he's on earth to forgive sins, and he has authority to forgive sins, that he's greater than any king, that he's King of kings and Lord of lords? No wonder they put him to death. They said, this man blasphemeth. He is either all of these things or he is a blasphemer. And you and I know that he is all of these things. Now let us rejoice in this. First of all, that the Savior, while telling us what we are, did not condemn us because of what we are, but came to save us from what we are. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You realize that when Christ was on earth, he searched and he looked into the hearts of men, and he never found one man who was not lost, who did not need to be saved. Isn't that remarkable? Not one. He simply found by examination what the Bible tells us about men. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Lord Jesus looked into the heart of every man he ever met, and he never found a man with a heart that was not contaminated with sin. He never found a just man who did not need to be saved. And so that is Christ's description of the world. And the sad thing is this, that concerning these lost ones, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so he came into a world of men that were sinners. He came into a world of men that were lost. But he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so that gives all men hope. If he came to call the righteous, there would be no one who would ever respond to his call. But if he came to call lost sinners and those who were guilty and those who had departed from God's light, then he could give benefits unto all. And that is what he did. It made no difference where men were. This is the way he describes his search for men. At times he says, I'm like a shepherd, and there is one sheep that is gone astray, and I go and search in the mountains until I find that sheep. So no matter where a sinner has gone, departed from God, no matter how lost he is never so lost that the Lord Jesus cannot find him. And this is what he said. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And you and I know that there are individuals in the world that are so obnoxious, so vile, so repulsive. We see the crimes that they've committed, and we would want nothing to do with those individuals. The Lord Jesus said this. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. So there was no sinner that wanted to be saved that the Father said, go to my Son. And when these sinners came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. Then there's hope for all. There may be some sinner who says, if I come, he will cast me out. He will not receive me. But the Lord Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. And also, if life holds nothing of joy and richness and abundance for you, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the reason I came is different from every other man in the world that is like a hireling. They come to steal, to kill, to destroy. He said, I've come that you may have life and you may have it abundantly. So here is a man whose life seems barren, seems worthless to live, and yet the Lord Jesus said, I've come not to take anything from you, but to give you something and to make life an abundant experience. And this beautiful verse. The Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So here is the Savior, and the world is filled with people who think that they are to be served, that everyone is on earth to do things for them. And the Son of God came to earth and he said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And so that is why we can sing that song, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Indeed, he is the Lord, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the one who's come from heaven and he's done all things well. And God says concerning him, this is my beloved Son who hath done all things well. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, how great is this occasion that the world is now celebrating the coming of your Son. Our God, we are well aware that the world as a whole knows not who your Son is. The Scriptures tell us that none of the rulers of this world knew who he was, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And we've heard that he is the Lord of glory. We have heard, our Father, that he is the promised Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of the Blessed. He is one whom the world cannot imagine his greatness. But we know who he is, and we are thankful that he is our Savior. And he's told us, our Father, why he came. And having saved us, he's promised that he's coming again. And so, our God, we pray that our hearts shall be ready. Your Son said, I am the light of the world. I've come that whosoever believes on me may not abide in the darkness. We thank you for that, our God. And so, we pray that this time of the year, that among us and among the world, that you shall save men from the darkness, and they shall not abide in darkness, but shall follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has promised to give them the light of life. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is